ओम
हरे कृष्ण. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 12 चैप्टर एंटाइटल द किलिंग ऑफ द डीमन अघासुर टेक्स्ट नंबर 6. यदि दूरं गता कृष्णो वनाशोभेक्षणायतम् अहं पूर्वम् इति संस्पृश्य रेमिरे. ट्रांसलेशन. समटाइम्स कृष्णा वुड गो टू अ समवॉट डिस्टेंट प्लेस टू सी द ब्यूटी ऑफ द फॉरेस्ट. Then all the other boys would run to accompany him, each one saying, I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna first. In this way, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. Text 7 to 11. Kechid venum vadayanto damanta shungani kechana kechid bringai pragayanta kujanta kokile pare. विच्छाया भी प्रदावंतो गच्छन्त साधु हंसकै बकेर उपविशन्तश्च नृत्यन्तश्च कलापिभिः विकर्षन्तः किशबालन् आरोहन्तश्च तैर्द्रुमान् विकुर्वन्तश्च ते साकं प्लवन्तश्च पलाशिषु साकं बेकेर विलंगन्तः शरितः सर्वसंप्लुता व्यसंता प्रतिच्छाया शपंतश्च प्रतिश्वनन् इत्तं सतां ब्रह्म सुखानुभूत्या दास्यं गतानां परदेवतेना मायाश्रितानां नरदारकेना साखं विजरु कृतपुण्यपुञ्जा. ट्रांसलेशन. ऑल द बॉयज वुड बी डिफरेंटली एंगेज्ड. Some boys blew their flutes and others blew bugles made of horn. Some imitated the buzzing of the bumblebees and others imitated the voice of the cuckoo. Some boys imitated flying birds by running after the birds' shadows on the ground. Some imitated the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. Some sat down with the ducks sitting silently and others imitated the dancing of the peacocks. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees. Some jumped into the trees, imitating the monkeys. Some made faces as the monkeys were accustomed to do. And others jumped from one branch to another. Some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the river, jumping with the frogs. And when they saw their own reflections on the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. In this way, all the coward boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence far for jnanis desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the supreme personality of Godhead for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The coward boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the supreme personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami, Tasmat Kena Upayena Manah Krishne Niveshayet. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.4. Somehow or other, whether one thinks of Krishna as an ordinary human child, as the source of the Brahman effulgence, as the origin of Paramatma, or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should concentrate one's full attention upon the lotus feet of Krishna. That is also the instruction of Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Srimad Bhagavatam is the easiest way of directly approaching Krishna. Ishvara sadyo hridaya avaradyate etra kritibhi shushru shubhistakshanat. Bhagavatam 1.1.2. Diverting even a little of one's attention towards Krishna and activities in Krishna consciousness immediately enables one to achieve the highest perfection of life. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. లోకస్య జానతో విద్వాంస్ చక్రే సాత్వత సంహితాం భాగవతం 1.7.6. ద సీక్రెట్ ఆఫ్ సక్సెస్ ఈజ్ అన్నోన్ టు పీపుల్ ఇన్ జనరల్ అండ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ శ్రీల వ్యాస్దేవ్ బీయింగ్ కంపాషనేట్ టువర్డ్స్ ద పువర్ సోల్స్ ఆఫ్ ద మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ ఎస్పెషలీ ఇన్ ది ఏజ్ ఆఫ్ కలి హ్యాస్ గివన్ ఆఫ్ ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం పురాణమలం యద్ వైష్ణవానాం ప్రియాం భాగవతం 12.13.18. For Vaishnavas who are somewhat advanced or who are fully aware of the glories and potencies of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam is a beloved Vedic literature. After all, we have to change this body, tata dehantara prapti. If we do not care about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we do not know what the next body will be. But if one adheres to these two books, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one is sure to obtain the association of Krishna in the next life. Tyaktva deham punarjanma neti mameti so Arjuna. Therefore, distribution of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world is a great welfare activity for theologians, philosophers, transcendentalists and yogis. Yoginam api sarvesham. As well as for people in general, janma labha para pumsa ante narayana smriti. Bhagavatam 2.1.6. If we can somehow or other remember Krishna, Narayan, at the end of life, our life will be successful. Krishna. These are some of the most beautiful verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, where Krishna's playful pastimes with the cowherd boyfriends are described. And this verse, aham purvam, where the boys are trying to be the first to catch Krishna. Very beautiful verse. And also the famous Ittam Satam Brahma Sukhanubhutya verse is also there today, which Srila Prabhupada quotes in many places. So this is the pastimes which Krishna performed during his, before entering the Pauganda age, before the age of less than five years. And here also we see how this verse has been quoted many times to explain about spiritual competition. You know, the boys are trying to compete to be the first one to catch Krishna. But the idea is not that I want to be the first so that I am great. That's not the idea. The idea is the cowherd boys are in this mood. They want to run fast and touch Krishna. So that two things. One is, so that the other boys are inspired more to run towards Krishna, and this gives more pleasure to Krishna. And secondly, by running fast, they want to touch Krishna again and again. So like this, the goal is to please Krishna. So in that sense, they are running and they are apparently competing. Not like modern times, you know, where competition is very dirty. In Olympics, people get into depression and so many problems because of competition in every sphere of life. But the boys, the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna, they are only having one desire, how to please and how to give pleasure to Krishna. And they are enjoying with Krishna. We are miserable in this material world because we don't want to enjoy with Krishna, we want to enjoy like Krishna. That's why we are miserable. So these cowherd boys would get up in the morning. Actually, before getting up in the morning, in the night itself, they would be restless. They would be thinking, why the sun is not rising? You know? That the sun should rise fast. They are looking at the eastern direction, waiting for the sun to rise desperately so that they can go and play with Krishna. And as soon as the sun rises, these boys run to Mother Yashoda's house and they tell, Krishna, come, let us go to the forest. Let us take our calves. And then some of them join Mother Yashoda in decorating Krishna. Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar of Devotion how some boys would put ankle bells on Krishna's lotus feet, some would dress him by putting his, you know, armlets, and some boys who are younger than Krishna would be decorating his lotus feet. Krishna would take his flute which was stuck behind and he would hit the boy and then again put the flute back, and the boy would look up and wonder who hit him, and then Krishna would smile. So like the Rupa Goswami describes many pastimes that Krishna performed with these cowherd boyfriends. Some friends of Krishna were younger than him, some same age, some older to him. Like this they would enjoy, and as the sun would set, they would become sad because now they will have to be parting from Krishna. And meanwhile, when they would go to the forest in the morning, the gopis would be very sad. Their feeling was opposite. Of course, transcendently both emotions are same. because both are feeling ecstatic emotions for emotions of love for Krishna. But the gopis would feel intense separation. And they would be looking at the sun and thinking, why the sun is not setting? Why the sun is going so slow? You know, is there a traffic jam? Why you are not going fast? Go fast, go fast. So that Krishna can come back and then we can enjoy with Krishna. We can see Krishna's beautiful face. And the gopis, they had started developing now as they were crossing the age of 5. Now the gopis, Purvaraga, the acharyas explained, the gopis were now developing intense conjugal feelings for Krishna. Although they were very young in age, Kavi Karanapura explains that, you know, just like gopis were like that grain of rice which was externally appearing to be not cooked, but internally it was fully cooked. So similarly, gopis were externally appearing to be young girls, but internally their attraction for Krishna was so deep and so intense. So therefore, they are feeling intense separation from Krishna as Krishna enters the forest. And here, Krishna's pastimes in the forest is described, how all the boys would jump, they would imitate the monkeys, the frogs, the ducks, the peacocks. So like this, they are entering the forest of Vrindavan, and Shukdev Goswami describes how Krishna entered the forest. Varaha peedam natavara vapu karnayo karnikaran bibrada vasah kanaka kapisam vaijayanti chamalam randran venu radhara sudaya parayan gopavrinder vrindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad gita kirti. Krishna had a beautiful peacock feather on his head, Baraha Pidam. He didn't have a big crown, you know, filled with jewels. He had a beautiful, naturally available peacock feather. So this is actually the sweetness of Vrindavan, Baraha Pidam. Krishna would be decorated with the minerals of Vrindavan, with Vaijayanti Mala, all locally available, you know, garlands, flowers, peacock feather. And that's why when Krishna came from Dwarka to Kurukshetra and the Brijavasis met Krishna at Kurukshetra, the gopis were not very happy to see Krishna dressed in royal garments. So they were very attracted to Krishna in this sweet form. So this is the ornament of Vrindavan, this sweetness. And then Baraha Pidam, he had a beautiful peacock feather on his head. This peacock feather also is a very nice pastime, how Krishna got this. When Krishna would go to the forest of Vrindavan, they would perform so many pastimes. And different animals and birds would join Krishna, because everyone in Vrindavan is pure devotee. So peacocks, how they express their love for Krishna, they would dance. So Krishna one day told the peacocks, no, this step is not correct. I will teach you how to dance. And then Krishna started dancing. And the peacocks started dancing. And it was such an ecstatic scene that all the demigods and denizens from the higher planets were watching this most spectacular sight. Krishna and all the peacocks are dancing. Krishna is training them on how to dance. And all the cowherd boyfriends are watching this wonderful sight. And after Krishna performed this wonderful dance, the peacocks were so happy that Krishna has taught us how to dance. So the leader of the peacocks came forward and said, you know, you are our guru. You taught us how to dance. We are very grateful to you and we want to give you Guru Dakshina. So then they gave a peacock feather, because that's what they have. And Krishna very gratefully accepted their gift. And to reciprocate with the peacocks, he would always decorate himself with this peacock feather. So like this, Baraha Pidam Natavara, he is called as Natavara, the best dancer. Lord Shiva is called as Nataraj, king of dancers. When Banasur played his, with his 1,000 hands, he played 500 drums and he was giving a lot of pleasure to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is called as Nataraj. But Krishna is even a better dancer. He is Natavara, the best of all dancers. Barha, Pidam, Natavara, Vapu, best. He's the best dancer. And Kanaka Kapisam, he is dressed in beautiful yellow garments, which are lightning in color. And Vaijayanti Mala, this garland would be made of 5 forest flowers which were available. And this garland would become more beautiful when it is decorated on Krishna's transcendental body. Generally, we decorate ourselves with different things so that we look beautiful. But when Krishna would be decorated with different things, those objects would become more beautiful. That's how attractive Krishna is. And then Krishna would play the flute. Randran Venu Radhara Sudaya Parayan Gopavrinder. Randran Venur. Venu means flute. So Randran means holes. So Sukadeva Goswami, look at the way he is describing. Randran Venur Adhara Sudaya. Krishna put the nectar of his lips into the holes of the flute. Actually, Sukadeva Goswami could have said, Krishna played his flute. But this is Srimad Bhagavatam's speciality, you know, such a rasa scripture. So poetically, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Krishna put the nectar of his lips into the holes of the flute. So like this. And then all his friends should be ecstatic. And all the gopis, as Krishna would be going to the forest, all the gopis would be looking at this form of Krishna and intensely gazing at him and drinking the beauty of Krishna through the cup of their eyes and taking it into the heart and intensely gazing. Their eyes were like the camera. They were constantly clicking photos, and then in the heart they would capture Krishna's form. Actually, this is the way to take darshan, you know. Many times you come and take photo. I remember in Vrindavan, I think Govardhan at Uddhav Kund, one devotee in our yatra, he was taking photo of the deities. So that pujari, he got very angry. He said, you are taking photo? You should take photo from the camera of your heart, from the camera of your eyes. Don't use this camera. You look at Krishna, you know, intensely. So like that. So the gopis were looking at Krishna with great love. And then Krishna would enter and he would take out his flute and then he would play the flute. So that the gopis in Vrindavan can remember him. To pacify them, he would play the flute. And Krishna had variety of flutes. No, he had, one was called Venu, which was 6 inches long and it had 6 holes. Then he also had another flute called Murli, which was 18 inches long, 1.5 feet, and it had 4 holes. Then he also had Vamsi, which was a very special flute. It was 15 inches long and it had 4 holes, sorry, 9 holes. So like that, like, you know, we have in modern times also, you know, rich people have many cars and they, whatever they feel in, like, they like, they take one particular car, you know, on a day. Or a sportsman, a tennis player will have many rackets. He'll pick up one racket. So like that, Krishna had many flutes. So he would pick up one particular flute. And even Vamsi, there are many types of Vamsis. You know? There was one called Mahanandini. When Vamsi would be little long, it would be called Mahanandini. It would be decorated with many jewels. Then there was Sammohini. There was Akarshini, made of gold. There was one flute called Vamsili, which is the most enchanting flute. You see how personal Krishna consciousness is. You know, the scriptures give such personal descriptions about Krishna. Even Krishna's flute is described in so much detail. And there are so many so-called religions where just mentioning that God has formed, people get agitated. You know? And here, such nice, beautiful descriptions are given. And he would play this flute and attract everybody's heart. And Krishna, there are 64 qualities. And out of those, it is explained that living entities have 50. Maximum, they can have 50 qualities. And Brahmaji has all those 50. Living entity can have 50. And Lord Shiva has around 55 qualities. And Vishnu has 60. Only Krishna has exclusively the 4 special qualities. So one is Leela Madhuri, the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, which is essentially referring to Krishna's pastimes with the gopas, covered boyfriends, which we are reading now. Second is called Prema Madhuri, the sweetness of Krishna's love, which essentially refers to the pastimes Krishna performed with the gopis, like that. And then third is Rupa Madhuri, Krishna's beauty is most exquisite, most charming form. And then there is Venu Madhuri, Krishna, the way he plays his flute is most enchanting and most sweet, which makes Krishna most special. So like this, Krishna has many wonderful qualities. Rupa Goswami describes 64 qualities in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the second part. And flute playing is one of the most sweetest. When Krishna would play the flute, all the demigods from higher planets, they would come to see this. And they would, you know, try to understand what raga Krishna is playing. But Krishna would be playing such ragas that nobody could understand what raga it is. And these upper planetary people, they are actually expert in ragas and music. You know, Gandharva lokas. Gandharvas are especially. That's why many singers also have name, Kumar Gandharva and Bal Gandharva. They're supposed to be great. So these Gandharva people would come and they would see and they would be so enchanted and they would try to analyze what raga is playing. And then they would say, they would give up because Krishna's playing was so good that it was not fitting into their mundane understanding of ragas. Then they would say, forget the analysis, let us just absorb ourselves in this, and they would be absorbed. Meanwhile, gopis back at in their houses, they would hear Krishna's flute and they would be mesmerized, they would be absorbed in remembering Krishna. Now, it's not that Krishna was playing a flute the whole day. Sometimes he would play the flute, sometimes he would be doing other pastimes. But the gopis would be hearing the flute sound till sunset, till Krishna came back. Because so enchanting was Krishna's flute that even when he was not playing, the sound would be ringing in the ears of the gopis. Like sometimes, you know, some of us, we may be walking on the road and some very attractive, mundane film song may be played. And you may, for a moment, you may be distracted. And then that song may ring again in the daytime sometime. And you may remember that song, you know, and you may hum it. So like that, this is the perverted reflection. Originally, it's Krishna playing the flute. It was so attractive that the gopis would keep remembering. And they would be intensely waiting for Krishna to come back. And the gopis would be thinking, oh, Krishna, Krishna's boyfriends are so fortunate. They are playing with Krishna whole day. That's what Sukadeva Goswami says. Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradevatena maya shritanam naradarakena sakham vijaru krita punya punja. Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse many places in his purports. How many people would look at Krishna and think he is Brahman. The Brahman effulgence has come as Krishna. Ittam sakam brahma sukhanubhutya. Some people would approach Krishna as a servant. Dasyam gatanam paradevatena. Krishna is God and we are servants. And there are some foolish people who would think maya shritanam naradarakena. Oh, Krishna is an ordinary human being. But these boyfriends of Krishna, they are most fortunate. Sakham vijaru kritapunya punja. They have performed heaps and heaps of devotionally pious activities for many lifetimes and therefore they are blessed to be associates of Krishna as Krishna's covered boyfriends. So like this, playing and frolicking in the pastures of Vrindavan, they would be coming back in the evening with the cows in the front. Always you'll see the cows are in front of Krishna. And the dust raised by the hooves of the cows and the calves, that would be on Krishna's transcendental body. Krishna's beauty would be filled. You know, Krishna would appear very attractive with this form. Nowadays, I see in many places, you know, the people are taking cows. The cows are behind and they have to drag the cows. So I was thinking, once I saw this in the road, I was thinking, in Vrindavan, Krishna, cows are in the front, you know. And they are all, cows are very happy. They are running with great joy. But nowadays, because the cows are sent to slaughterhouses, they are tortured, they are not taken care at all, so they have to be dragged. But Vrindavan, where Krishna protects the cows, and then, and so like this, they perform pastimes. So when Krishna enters Vrindavan also, as soon as they enter, all the trees, they are filled with fruits. So these trees, they want to offer obeisances to Krishna. So they all bend, because these trees are also great devotees of Krishna. So they bend, and all the fruits are leaning down, all the creepers. They're offering obeisances. Krishna recognizes that they are offering obeisances to him. But he is very humble. So he turns to Balaram and says, see, these trees, they are offering obeisances to you. You are so wonderful. Like this, Krishna gives credit to others, to Balaram always. And actually that is the mood here in this verse also which we are reading today. Aham purvam, aham purvam. So when the boys are telling that I want to catch Krishna first. Actually, the internal mood is, I want to give pleasure to Krishna. Krishna will see I'm running towards him, Krishna will become more happy. So it's not a mundane competition. The mood Krishna is revealing that, you know, giving credit to Balaram. That is the mood of competition in the spiritual world. Whereas in material world, we always blame others first for anything that happens wrong. Actually, I remember some years back when we were doing book distribution, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gave us the principle of how to be aggressive in book distribution. So he said we should pray to Krishna that we distribute double of last year's books. But we should also pray that we come last in book distribution. Very interesting, you know. Double of last year means if you distribute 1 lakh last year, this year you should do 2 lakhs. And if you do 2 lakhs this year, you should do 4 lakh next year. That should be our target. But simultaneously our prayer should be, we come last. Initially, I didn't understand. Then I realized what that meant was, if we come last, what does that mean? Although we are doing double, we are coming last. What does that mean? That means overall, so much of Srila Prabhupada's books are distributed. This is spiritual competition. I remember once, you know, Maharaj would always say, we should not try to compete, and, you know, we should give, the book distribution should be a pleasurable experience for all the devotees. But one year, our 1st December was on a Sunday, marathon was about to start, and that was held at Babulnath. That class was at Babulnath temple. There was some construction going on here. So Sachinandan Maharaj was there, Gopal Krishna Maharaj was there, and Maharaj, they all spoke on book distribution. So in the evening when we had the meeting with Maharaj, Maharaj said, so this year book distribution marathon, we should try to come first. And I was like surprised, why Maharaj is saying we should come first, because he never says we should come first. Then he gave the purport. He said, we never come first and we should never try to come first. But this year, Gopal Krishna Maharaj and Sachinandan Maharaj were there for the first class of marathon where they gave such a pep talk. So if we come first, we will get a chance to tell the whole world that we never come first. But this year, because Gopal Krishna Maharaj came, because Sachinandan Maharaj came, and they inspired our devotees so much that even we, who never come first, we also came first. And that way, we can glorify my God brothers. So this is the mood of, this is actually spiritual world. This is Vrindavan mood, where the competition is also transcendental, spiritual. Where there is nothing for the self, but pleasure for Krishna. So like this, everyone in Vrindavan is simply glorifying Krishna. Even the bees, you know, Bhamre, the Bringa. So when Krishna enters the forest, all these bees, they start humming, you know, like that. And they surround Krishna, always, constantly. I was surprised first time when I read, the bees are called as Ali, you know. First time, I was thinking, not Muhammad Ali, you know. Ali means, we think, some Muslim name, but even the bees are called as Ali. So I met one devotee whose name was Ali Krishna Das. You know, Krishna was very dear to the bees. So these bees would be humming and they would be surrounding Krishna. And they would be, externally it would appear to us as if they are just, you know, they're making a sound, gun, like that. But actually they were singing glories of Krishna. And only those who are free from all material desires and who are pure at heart, they can glorify Krishna constantly. And they can hear Krishna's glories. So these bees were perfected beings who had no material desire. Nivritta tarshe rupagiya manat bavau shada shotra mano biramat kautama shloka gunanu vadat puman virajeta vina pashugnat. Those are completely free. Nivritta tarshe. They can constantly keep glorifying Krishna. And this glorification of Krishna is the aushadi, medicine for our material existence. Bhava aushadach. And it is a very unique medicine, shotra manobiramad. It will also simultaneously please the mind and senses. Generally, medicine is bitter. But this is a very pleasing medicine. Ka uttama shloka gunanu vadat. So who will not glorify Krishna? Vina pashugnat, a killer of the soul. Or one who is completely, completely averse to spiritual life. He will not be able to relish this. So like this, the bees would go. In fact, the bees were more fortunate than cowherd boys and even the gopis. And externally, they're insignificant. But they could go even where the gopas could not go. And they could go even where the gopis would not go. They would be there with Krishna even when Krishna was taking bath. They would be surrounding. And even at night, they would be with Krishna constantly. And Krishna would not be irritated, generally. Because they were glorifying Krishna. You know, generally, we get, if 24 hours, somebody is next to you. You go crazy. Leave me alone. Even, you know, devotees who preach also, they don't want people around them. They want solitude. They want to be in solitude. Like one devotee who became a brahmachari recently, he was telling me, Prabhuji, you know, all of you preachers, I'm amazed. You are running behind us when we are trying to be devotees and we don't come for program. You are actually running behind us and you try to make us devotee and we try to avoid you. But somehow you make us devotee and then we become devotee. We join the ashram. And now we want to talk to you, but you are running away and we are running behind you. And you have no time. So devotees also, you know, we can't, 24 hours you can't have, nobody has that. Nobody can be having somebody around him 24 hours. But look at Krishna's magnanimity, how happy he is to see the bumblebees just, you know, surrounding him, singing, humming. This is spiritual world. In the third canto, it is explained, Dātyūya hamsa shukati tiri bhari nāmya kolāhalo viramate chiramātra mucher bṛngādipe harikatam ivagāyamāne. All the birds in Vaikuntha, all the Dātyūya, hamsa, swan, parrots, cartridge, all these different birds are mentioned. What are they doing? Kolāhalo chiramātra mucher, great sound, they are singing glories of Krishna. But as soon as bumblebee comes, bṛngādipe harikatam ivagāyamāne. They all keep quiet and they all want to hear the bumblebee glorify Krishna. And there Srila Prabhupada writes, in material world, even an ass is proud of his poetry. You know, everybody wants to be the first one to speak. But this is spiritual world where when bees are expressing their love for Krishna. Then when Krishna enters, the peacocks see Krishna and they express their love by dancing. And then the deers, they see Krishna and they also want to express love. They can't sing like the bees and they can't dance. So they, with their eyes, they express love for Krishna. So their eyes are filled with love and Krishna recognizes their... Actually, eyes are very powerful. Now, sometimes you may say sweet things, but if your eyes, you can make out whether you are actually happy or you are angry. So, but with the eyes, they would... That's why, you know, in Arab countries, most of the sheikhs, they wear glasses, dark glasses. So that when they do this business contracts, the other person cannot see in the eye. Yeah, it's true. They put the glasses like that. Eyes are very, you can easily make out from the eyes. So deers, they would, with their eyes, they would intensely gaze at Krishna with love and Krishna would reciprocate with them. He would pat them on the head. And the kaku, koel, she would she would like that make sound, beautiful song she would sing. And the mother earth also, she would have rich grasses, luxurious grasses growing as an expression of love for Krishna. And even the fruits would be ecstatic to serve Krishna. The fruits would be thinking, when will the cowherd boyfriends and Krishna come and enjoy us? And the amalaki fruits, they would be eagerly waiting for Krishna to come and play football because they would be big and Krishna would play football with amalaki fruits. Like that, everyone would be serving Krishna and they would be glorifying Krishna. And all the demigods would come to see this pastimes of Krishna, glorification of Krishna. And Krishna would reciprocate with each one of them. He would talk to them. In fact, Krishna had 9 lakh cows. Krishna would reciprocate with all the 9 lakh cows. You know, he had divided all the 9 lakh cows into 108 groups. And he had a counter bead also. He would count. And 25 groups were cows of white color. And the 25 groups were black color cows, 25 red color, 25 yellow. And the remaining 8 groups were all the other mixed colors and other colors. So if you had to call the black colored cows, he would, you know, loudly shout. He would call Shyamala, Dhumala, Yamuna, like that. He would call the cows. If you had to call the white colored cows, he would loudly say, Oh, Hamsi, Chandani, Dhavali, Mukta, Ganga, like that. And all those cows would come running to Krishna. If you have to call red-colored cows, you would call them by name. Aruni, Kumkum, Saraswati. And then yellow-colored cows, you would call. Pita, Pingala, Haritilaka, Chitra, Chitratilaka, like that. He knew the names of each and every cow. Actually, Rupa Goswami writes in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu that one of the qualities of Krishna is, he is Vividadbhuta Bhashavit. He is expert in languages. He knows languages, so many languages. So he knew the language of all the animals, birds, and cows, each one. And then, as today's verse says, all the boyfriends of Krishna, they would be playing, imitating rabbits, frogs. But one speciality of Krishna, Rupa Goswami writes, is that Krishna could imitate all the animals at the same time. Like generally, if somebody imitates a dog, he may say, bhau bhau, or he may imitate a cat, he may say, meow. But he cannot imitate dog and cow same time. Dog and cat same time. But Krishna is the only one who has such expertise that he would imitate all the birds or all the animals at the same time. So like this, very attractive. So this is one quality of Krishna, Vividadbhuta Bhashavit. He knows so many languages. With demigods, he would speak in Sanskrit. With gopas and gopis, he would speak in sweet Brajvasha. With animals, he would speak in their languages. I met one person who knew 13 languages. But then Krishna, look at Krishna, how many languages he knows. Rupa Goswami says, Krishna also knows the language of the Kashmir province. He writes there. That means Krishna knows so many languages. In fact, Krishna, he can hear whatever we are desiring in the heart. So he knows the language of the heart also. Krishna is also called as fluent, Priyamvada. He can speak very sweetly, even to an enemy. So when he was subduing Kalia, he was chastising Kalia and he was speaking so sweetly that even Kalia was liking it. He was actually in great pain, but he was appreciating Krishna's sweet words. So like this, Krishna has very many nice qualities. One of the qualities of Krishna is he is highly learned, supandita. And Rupa Goswami gives definition of what is the meaning of learned. Learned means one who is highly educated. And then he says, but Krishna got education from Sandipani Muni. So how can Krishna be the greatest learned person? But then he clarifies. The ocean gives water to clouds. Clouds take water to the mountains. Mountains put water into the rivers and rivers bring it back to the ocean. Similarly, Krishna is like ocean. He gave knowledge to Brahma first, who is like the cloud. Brahma gave that knowledge to Narada, and in parampara, like the water goes from cloud to mountain to rivers. Finally, the knowledge came to Sandipani Muni, who is like a river, and that Sandipani Muni gave that knowledge to Krishna. So it is not that he is a source of knowledge of Krishna. So Krishna is highly learned, supandita. Krishna is also called as highly intelligent, buddhiman. So then Rupa Goswami gives the definition of buddhiman. Who is intelligent? So he says, intelligent person is he who has fine discretion. And then he gives examples to prove how Krishna has high intelligence. So he says how when Kalayavan attacked with 30 million soldiers, Krishna didn't even touch him. Krishna walked towards Himalayas and Kalayavan was chasing him. Finally, Krishna reached the cave where Muchukunda was sleeping. And Kalayavan kicked Muchukunda, thinking it is Krishna. And Muchukunda looked at him and Muchukunda was blessed that if anybody sees that person would be burned to ashes. So then Kalayavan got burned to ashes. Then Krishna came in front. So this is such fine discretion. He knew when to withdraw, when to... Like even when Jarasandha attacked 17 times, Krishna was so bored after fighting with him. So Krishna left, but he had another agenda. He wanted to receive Rukmini's letter. So like this, Krishna is highly intelligent. He has fine discretion. He is learned, supandita. Krishna is also called as genius. Genius means pratibhavita. Means, see, this is very interesting. Generally, if I tell someone or if you tell someone, you are learned, you are intelligent, you are genius, you are clever, you are expert. What does that mean? Actually, we may be lying also. But even if you are actually appreciating, we mean only one quality. And that one quality, to explain, we use different synonyms. Oh, you are clever, you are wonderful, you are intelligent. But Rupa Goswami writes so beautifully that when he is saying Krishna is learned, there is a definition for learned. And there are examples to prove how Krishna is learned. When Krishna is intelligent, there is a definition of intelligence. And there are examples to prove how Krishna is intelligent. Now he is saying Krishna is genius. For genius definition, Rupa Goswami says, genius means one who can refute any kind of opposing argument with newer and newer arguments. So that's how Krishna is very genius. So like when Radharani once asked Krishna, where is your vasa, your outer garment? So Krishna took the meaning of vasa to mean residence. So he said, my vasa is in your eyes. So then Srimad Radharani said, no, I am referring to vasa, the dress. Then Krishna took the word vasa to mean fragrance. So Krishna said, my vasa is coming from your transcendental body, like that. So they would have arguments where Krishna would come out with newer and newer arguments. But Acharya explained that Srimad Radharani is even greater genius. She can oppose Krishna's arguments even better. Like once when Krishna went to the house of Radharani and knocked on the door, Srimad Radharani asked, who is there? So Krishna said, I am Madhav. So Srimati Radharani said, oh, Madhav is the name of a spring season. So have the spring season come to my house? So Krishna said, no, I am the holder of the Sudarshan wheel, Madhav. So then Radharani said, oh, holder of the wheel, that means a potter has come to my house. One who makes pots. Then Krishna said, no, I am holding all the universes. You know, I am the one who holds all the universes. Then Srimati Radharani said, oh, Ananta Shesha holds all the universes on his head. So a serpent has come to my house. So then Krishna said, no, I am not serpent. I am the one who crushes all the serpents. So then Radharani said, oh, Garuda crushes all the serpents. So a vulture has come to my house. So like that they have arguments. So Rupa Goswami, this is very beautifully given in Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion. Actually, Srila Prabhupada has given us all this in his books. So where So arguments like this. So Krishna is genius, and Krishna, he imparts this quality of genius in devotees also. Now devotees also are, they are able to improvise conversation at the spur of the moment, and they also become ustad, you know, in they say some things. So devotees, sometimes preachers, they should know that Krishna is actually the source of all genius, all intelligence, all buddhi, buddhiman. So we have to pray to Krishna that Krishna, you please give us the intelligence to discriminate and to understand what is correct, what is wrong, because you are the supremely intelligent. You are the supreme genius. You know how to answer, how to defend Krishna conscious philosophy. You please give us the intelligence. Like one devotee was saying, he was distributing books in the local train once, and one man challenged him in middle of, in the front of every, all the crowd. He said, Hare Krishna, you are Hare Krishna man, and every organization has good things and bad things, and you are glorifying ISKCON so much. Now you please tell us something bad about ISKCON. We want to hear some faults of ISKCON also. So, you know, everybody was looking at him, and I didn't know what to say. So he said, the biggest fault of ISKCON is we don't discriminate. We allow everyone to come. Even you can come to ISKCON. And then the devotee was thinking, I didn't know how, and everybody laughed at that man, you know, and then that man will, the way he got so shaken, he'll never confront any other ISKCON devotee. And then this devotee came back and he was telling us, I don't know how I said that, you know, Krishna gave that intelligence at the right time. So Krishna, because Krishna is genius, devotees, they get those qualities. Like Badrinarayan Prabhu says, how he became devotee, how he joined ISKCON full time. Very interesting story. He used to go to an ISKCON temple in America. And there, you know, devotees would have this feast, lunch, prasadam for everyone. And at the end door, after the feast, when they would be going out, there would be a young devotee boy, child, son of a devotee, and he would have nice tilak, shika, and he would have a donation box in his hand and smiling. So people would feel happy and they would give donations. So this Badrinarayan Prabhu was a college student. And he was feeling, wow, how smart these ISKCON people are, you know. They're serving nice prasad free of cost, but they keep such a charming child at the exit, and that you feel like giving money. But he was very smart. He said, but I am not going to just give all the money like that. So he would take out money. But he said, if I take out money, and there are sometimes notes also, dollars, sometimes coins, you know, but if I take out and if I keep the dollar back and put the coin in the box, it doesn't look nice. So he thought, I'll put the notes in my left pocket, all the notes, and all the coins in my right pocket. Before only he would plan like that, so that when he would be going out, he didn't have to think twice. He would just put his hand on the right pocket, take out a few coins, put it on the box, and go away. He did that for 2-3 days. So he was also feeling happy. You know, I don't have to be embarrassed taking out notes and then putting it back. Because he didn't want to give notes. He would put the coins. And as he would put the coins, this boy would look at him and smile. And he would smile back. Third day, when Badrinarayan Prabhu was again putting his hand in the pocket to take out his coins, this boy looked at him and smiled and said, Prabhuji, Krishna doesn't see what you are giving. Krishna sees what you are not giving, what is there in the other pocket. What is there in the other pocket? That Krishna is seeing that. Immediately, he said, these guys are so smart. You know? This small boy is so intelligent. I should join this group. So like that, you know, devotees. So this is all coming from Krishna. Krishna is a genius. Krishna is highly learned, he is highly intelligent. And Rupa Goswami says, Krishna is also highly clever. So then he defined, what is the meaning of clever? He says, clever means one who can accomplish many types of work at the same time. Multitasking. Origin of multitasking is Krishna. So he gives an example, how Krishna was killing Arishtasur. So when Krishna was killing Arishtasur, his one hand was on the shoulder of one of his coward boyfriends. With the other arm, he killed Arishtasur, and then he put that arm caressing a calf. And then he was also composing poetry, same time. And with his eyes, he was casting sidelong glances on gopis. And with his feet, he was kicking Arishtasur. So when he was kicking Arishtasur with his feet, he had one hand on a coward boyfriend's shoulder, the other he was caressing a calf, with his eyes he was looking at the gopis and smiling, and he was also composing poetry. Such amazing. That's why Krishna is called Chatur, clever. Sometimes devotees also try to become clever by, you know, reading, chanting, driving, same time. But we can't do that. Krishna only, we can't try to be smart like that. So Krishna is Chatur, and also Krishna is, one quality is, next quality is Daksha, he is expert. So then Rupa Goswami says, expert means one who can accomplish the most difficult task with great ease. If somebody can do that, he is called expert. So he gives example how Krishna expanded into 16,108 forms, how, you know, in the Ras Lila, and how Krishna lifted the Govardhan mountain, which is very difficult. So most difficult thing, so easily. And then Manidhi Maharaj gives a purport to this. How most difficult is to liberate the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. But Krishna has made it so easy by coming in the form of his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So this is how Krishna would attract and charm the hearts of all the residents of Vrindavan with his wonderful transcendental qualities. And then when Krishna would be in the forest of Vrindavan, all the covered residents were back at in their homes, they would be simply remembering this form of Krishna. They would be remembering how Krishna's eyes are beautiful like lotus flowers. They would be remembering how Krishna's complexion is like that of a fresh monsoon cloud. Like in the rainy season, we can get the best, you know, best sight of the monsoon clouds when we can remember Krishna. Then they would remember how Krishna's nose would be very soft like a sesame flower. His lips would be red like the fresh bimba fruit. And his cheeks and forehead would be illuminating like a full moon. And his teeth would be beautiful like a row of pearls. And his ears would be decorated with shark-shaped earrings, which would be effulgent. And which would reflect the effulgence from his face. And then Krishna's face would look very beautiful like that. And then how Krishna's palms and his feet were pinkish, like the pink lotus flower. And then Krishna's eyebrows, they would remember how his eyebrows are like bows. And Krishna's glance was like arrows. And Krishna was shooting through his glances, he was shooting arrows of love. And all devotees' hearts would be pierced. And they would be ecstatic remembering Krishna. And then Krishna's hair would be curly, and his neck would have, you know, it would appear like a conch shell's lines like that. And his chest was wide, waist thin, arms very strong and soft. So like this, in this threefold bending form, Krishna then would play the flute and all the devotees would be attracted. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim vamsi nesto darakishalayam ujvalam chandrakenam Govindakhyam Hari Tanumiya Keshi Tirtho Pakante Ma Prekshishthastava Sakheyadi Bandhu Sange Sri Range. Rupa Goswami says that this Smeram Bhangi Traya Parichitam, this threefold bending form of Krishna, he is giving a conversation between two gopis. One gopi is telling another gopi, don't go to the banks of Yamuna on the full moon night. Because there, in this threefold bending form, Krishna is playing his flute. And Sachi Vistirna Drishtim, he is casting side glances. Vamsi Nesto Darakishalayam Ujvalam Chandrake. And as the full moon is there, Krishna is casting his sidelong glances, he is playing his flute. Govindakyam, this person is called Govinda. Haritanumuya Keshi Tirthopakand, on the banks of Keshi, is playing this flute. So, my dear Gopi, if you have any material desire, don't go to the bank of Yamuna at the Keshi Ghat. Because Tava Sakeyadi Bandhu Sange Stri Range. So if you are attached to Bandhu, your family, then don't go, because Ma Prekshishthas Tava Sakeyadi, oh my dear Sakhi, don't go there. Because Krishna will charm your heart in such a way that you will completely get mesmerized. So this is about Krishna. Krishna's wonderful pastimes, his beauty, which would charm the residents of Vrindavan completely. And in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada, he is describing how, you know, the verses are talking about how Krishna is imitating, the cowherd boyfriends are imitating all the animals, they're enjoying. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is writing how, if we want to develop this attraction for Krishna, because this is the final question that comes in the devotees' minds, you know, we have no attraction for Krishna. We are suffering so much. okay, Krishna is performing such sweet pastimes, but I have no attraction. My heart is very hard. What to do? So now in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, study Srimad Bhagavatam. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. And he is quoting so many verses to explain how we do not know when death will come. We don't know what our next body will be. But if we read Srimad Bhagavatam and study Bhagavatam, then we will go back to Krishna. See, very, very practical, you know. Is Srila Prabhupada is very giving very practical guidance that, okay, if you want to develop love for Krishna, read Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam, otherwise, you know, if you only say, oh, Krishna is sweet, Vrindavan, Radhe, Radhe, we may become sahajya. But if you study Bhagavatam, we will know Krishna is glorious and Srimad Bhagavatam is like a mirror which will expose us to ourselves. We will understand, oh, I am so fallen and Krishna is so great. And then that, there will be humility. So Bhagavatam is very powerful. Bhagavatam shakes us from our slumber and it compels us to think about the goal of life. And then when we are in that humble condition, then we can actually appreciate Krishna's pastimes. So when Srila Prabhupada was in London in 1973, he was giving a lecture at the London Gujarati Society. So the chairman of that London Gujarati Society was a 55-year-old man. He welcomed Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada began his talk and he said, when we meet people, we generally ask them, how are you? How is your business? How is your family? How is your daughter's wedding? Everything. We have these questions. Actually, we should be asking people when we meet them, how is your attempt going on to conquer over the cycle of birth and death? So this president of the Gujarati Society was hearing this. He was so shaken by this one sentence. He said, this is the goal of life. This is what we are supposed to do. And this is what Srimad Bhagavatam says. He was so shaken. From that day, he started reading Bhagavatam. And he joined the temple at the age of 55, 60. And he went on to become His Holiness Srila Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, one of the most stalwart devotees and leaders of ISKCON, who till the age of 92, almost, he was preaching Bhagavatam every time. He was so absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would often say, there is a beautiful book his disciples came out with, Srimad Bhagavatam in Practice, where this message is again and again hit, you know. Study Srimad Bhagavatam. You become sober. You realize that this life is precarious, as in today's purport, Prabhupada is saying. Any time we may have to leave our body. Any time we may have to die. And Mahavishnu Maharaj exemplified this. Last days of his life, he was completely absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. When he was at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, at one time his health became so bad that, you know, for 30 seconds, his whole body, from top to feet on the right side, would violently jump up and down because of the pain. Intense pain. And he would just be shouting, Krishna, Govinda, like that. And then for 30 seconds, it would pain, and then there would be relief for 30 seconds. And again, it would violently, you know, it was so much painful. And for 40 hours, this happened. And after the whole experience, Maharaj was very calm, and he just chanted different verses of Bhagavatam. Was remembering, even Srila Prabhupada, when he was at Mauritius, there was a big accident. It was such a ghastly accident. Fortunately, nothing happened serious. Devotees are bleeding. Prabhupada was also bleeding. The only thing Srila Prabhupada quoted that Bhagavatam verse, Asannapi Kleshada Ashadeya. If one reads Bhagavatam, one will be very convinced that this material world is temporary. There is death which can come at any time. Then all this competition, you know, which like today's verse is talking about transcendental competition. Aham Purvam, Aham Purvam. So our mundane idea of wanting to be better than others, wanting to compete, all that will fade away because we will realize our life is so precarious. You know, it's a waste of time trying to be first in this world. We are trying to be go-getters, grabbers, but it's useless. So if we hear about Krishna's pastimes, you know, these covered boyfriends competition, where they are having transcendental competition, where they are having loving pastimes, then this world will appear meaningless and all the glory of this world will appear useless. Like, you know, nowadays, recently I heard India won the World Cup, Under-19 World Cup. Third time they won. And all these young boys, they are 19-year-old, 18-year-old, and they are glorified, they are worshipped. Ridiculous. And one intelligent man, he did an analysis and he wrote how the last two World Cup winners, these young boys, they were also glorified and media was making them hero. 95% of those boys, they are not even qualified to play first-class cricket now. They are not even in the state team. They are nowhere in picture. Nobody knows where they are. So what happened? Their career is finished because they are glorified, media making them heroes, and after a few years, everybody forgets them. But that is what this world is. It's nasty. But if you see devotees, you know, they have nothing to do with the glory of this world. Like I remember a few days back, I went for one Janmashtami program in Borivali West. And devotees had made such nice arrangements, such nice decoration in the altar, and they had made pots with butter coming out. You know, they actually put cotton. From far, it was looking as if butter is coming out. Such nice decorations and so much bhoga preparations. And I was thinking, and they had some nice dance and drama performance. Oh, which media will cover this? You know, who will glorify them? But that is giving them sweetness. You know, they are so happy. Devotees are so happy chanting, coming together. So there is no substitute for this, the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, taste for holy name, and unnecessarily competing and wanting so many things of this material world is only giving us this karshati, it is struggle. It gives us pain. I remember last year we went to Udupi Yatra. Amazing experience there, you know, like behind the temple, Krishna temple, Krishnanam Prabhu and Anandanam Prabhu, and they had taken all the staff and employees. So there we went to this samadhi. There is a, behind the temple, there is a samadhi of all the Udupi sannyasis who were worshipping Krishna for so many years. It's an amazing place. And these sannyasis lived till the age of 95, 90, like that, all of them. And they got sannyas when they were 5 or 6 years old. So for almost 85, 90 years, they were quietly serving Krishna without any desire for any glory of this world. Just serving happily. It was an amazing experience. And nowhere the names are written of any of those. They are all pure devotees serving Krishna for since 13th century. It's amazing. And nowhere the names are written. But each one of them was a very special soul who served Krishna so nicely. And there is one samadhi where they put one tiger's face. There, you know. And then I found out, we asked, that sannyasi was Raghuvara Tirtha Swami from Palimarmat, who had one favorite cow. That cow's milk, he would bathe Krishna with that cow's milk. But one day that cow did not come back after grazing. And then they came to know that one tiger in the forest had eaten that cow. For this devotee became so sad, Raghuvara Tirtha Swamiji became so sad that I cannot serve Krishna with this milk. So he started fasting outside his matha. Great sadness. And the Paramatma and the tiger inspired the tiger to feel repentant. And the tiger came to the Udupi town in front of everyone, paid full dandavas to this Swamiji and left his body there as an atonement for, you know, killing Krishna's favorite cow. So like this, and this sannyasi, his samadhi was later made, and it was made into like that. So then when this Swamiji was telling us this pastime, he was saying, all these devotees are like that, very great devotees, but they wanted nothing of this world. They just wanted to happily serve Krishna. And they were happy. So they served Krishna here for 80, 85 years. Now they have gone back and now they are serving Krishna eternally. And then we went to different mathas to meet these Swamijis and interview them. So one Swamiji was telling us, you should pray to Narasimha Dev. He kept telling us, for every question he was giving an answer, you should pray to Lord Lakshmi Narasimha Dev. Then finally when we were leaving, we came to know, for last 35 years in his matha, he has deity of Lakshmi Narasimha Dev. He is worshipping the deity. So he is very attached. So for every thing is having that as an answer. Then we went to Krishna Purmat. That Swamiji is a sannyasi and worshipping Krishna for 49 years. In that matha. For every question, you know, he was saying, oh, you should pray to Krishna to crush the envy from your heart, like Krishna crushed Kaliya's pride. And then in the end we saw his deity's photo was there, Kaliya Krishna. Krishna dancing on. So they have so attached to Krishna, and then after leaving this body also, they continue their service to Krishna in their spiritual bodies. So it's amazing. And it's of course Srila Prabhupada's mercy that we are able to appreciate all this. Srila Prabhupada, the one who has given us, you know, who has glorified Madhvacharya and this sampradaya all over the world, actually. Before coming to ISKCON, I had no idea about what Madhvacharya's philosophy was. Although we grew up, we had one photo of Madhvacharya at home. You know, Madhvacharya is sitting like this, two fingers, which means soul and living God are separate like that. But I never knew what that was. And because when we were small, you know, we used to eat a lot. Anytime we were hungry, we would say, I want food, you know. We would just asking for food. So my grandmother, I grew up with my grandparents. So my grandmother would tell me, you should not eat so much. See what Madhvacharya is saying, he's sitting like this. What does this mean? This means you should eat only 2 times in a day. Actually, I used to think, I never knew what that meant, you know, this meant, this pose meant. Only after coming to ISKCON, I learned that this means Jiva and God are separate. They can never be together, can never be one. So it is Srila Prabhupada's greatness that he has given us this wonderful philosophy, knowledge. So through Srimad Bhagavatam, but at the same time, having said that, we should give credit to these great devotees. You know, they are not, they don't want any glory of this world. They're just not interested in any competition. This is for 80, 70, 80 years, they're just serving Krishna. So, and Srila Prabhupada is encouraging us to develop this mood by giving us this Bhaktivedanta purports, where he's exposing the harsh realities of this world. And if you can sincerely read and render submissive oral reception, like we sit in these classes and we hear, this has a mystical, almost magical effect on our consciousness. You know, we actually develop attraction for Krishna. And we experience rasa. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be appreciated by non-devotees. Only devotees can appreciate the rasa of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like, you know, mango. Devotees appreciating Bhagavatam is like a person tasting the mango rasa, the pulp of the mango. Jnanis also study Bhagavatam. But the rasa they experience is like that of a person who is tasting the skin of the mango. The mango may be, the skin may have taste, but it's not the same as mango pulp. But devotees can actually relish. And a karmi, if he tries to eat Bhagavatam, it is like tasting the seed of a mango. He'll not experience anything. He'll get frustrated. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is very special scripture. And Srila Prabhupada writes in many places that if we study regularly, this Shravan, the process of Shravan is very powerful. It helps us develop our attraction to Krishna. Actually, I was reading recently teachings of Lord Kapila. So there is one chapter where, this is a series of lectures which Srila Prabhupada gave in Bombay in 1974 on Kapila's instructions to Mother Devahuti. And that has been transcribed into a book, beautiful book, teachings of Lord Kapila. And there is one chapter where Srila Prabhupada is talking about how to be in the mode of goodness, how to be peaceful and happy. So he gives one paragraph explanation on how you should be taking bath 2 times a day, minimum. You will feel fresh. Snana. Then he talks about Shravan, hearing Krishna Katha. Then he talks about Sankirtan. So he says Snan, Shravan and Sankirtan can make you happy. And there he writes a very nice point that if you are hearing attentively Krishna Katha, because Krishna is more eager that we go back to him than we are eager to go back to him, so therefore, when we are hearing attentively, Krishna makes all arrangements for us to be happy and go back to him happily because he is more eager. It's such a nice point. You know, if we are hearing attentively, we are just exciting Krishna because anyway, he is more eager that we go back to him. Just like when we are distributing books at the book table, I remember sometimes nobody would be coming whole day and we would be looking at every walking person with great alertness. When will this person look at our table? Who will come? And suddenly one person comes, we become so happy, we give him so much attention. So for millions of lifetimes we are going, you know, cat body, dog body, and Paramatma is there in the heart. He's watching, when will this person turn to me? When will he look at me? And we are not at all interested in Krishna. And suddenly we start attending Bhagavatam classes, we start hearing. And Krishna becomes very excited, he becomes very happy. And he makes all arrangements for us to go back home, back to Godhead. He is our eternal well-wisher. But we don't have faith. Therefore, making hearing and chanting as our first priority is a sign of faith in Krishna. Shraddha shabde vishwase sudrida nischaye. Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hoi. That faith means to have faith that if I do hearing chanting nicely, then all my other things will be taken care. And we have seen devotees who have repeatedly exemplified this by giving number one priority to their hearing and chanting, attentive chanting. And then that is making them very strong in their Krishna consciousness. Because studying of Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and chanting, this removes our hope that we have from material world, that goes away. Like, you know, materialistic people, they cannot understand how this world is fragile, temporary, because they are like, Prabhupada calls them as goats. Like if you see a goat, if you go to Bakri Adda here nearby, you will see goats are in line and one by one the goats are slaughtered. But the goat which is not being slaughtered, it is fed nice grass and the goat is peacefully eating that grass.
But that goat doesn't know that he is going to die next. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada would say, we are like that goat. We are seeing everybody is dying around us. But we are thinking, my life will go on nicely. And we sometimes, we are also happy that, oh, my life is nice. But Srila Prabhupada would say, it's like wet cow dung and dry cow dung. When the dry cow dung is thrown into fire, the wet cow dung is happy, feeling, oh, this, you know, dry cow dung is going in. But that wet cow dung doesn't know that it will also soon become dry. Srila Prabhupada would say, we are like that, completely complacent. We have no idea that death is going to come. But if we study Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes, as in today's purport, that we will realize that this material world is useless place. Last 2-3 months, every week we are hearing, you know, about some death of some, either some devotee or some contact of some devotee we know. Like some aunt of someone, somebody, last 3 months I'm seeing. Every week something we are hearing like this. That means death is everywhere and still we are complacent. So Srimad Bhagavatam, if we take shelter, then this hope that we have from this material world, that hope will go away. See, material desires may not go away immediately because of conditioning and past life. But more than material desires, what is more dangerous is the hope that we have that if I fulfill these desires, I will be happy. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva yuddhasva vigata jura. We have to become nirashir, that asha that we have, that if I fulfill this desire, I will be happy. No, material desires, if we fulfill, we cannot become happy. There is a saying in English, hope dies last. So we are constantly hoping, you know, if I do this, I may be happy, if I do this. But Srimad Bhagavatam will remove the hope that we have from material world and invest our faith in Krishna. Krishna Bhuli Seijiv Anadi Bairmukh Atayeva Maya Tare Deha Samsaradu. Because we have forgotten Krishna, we are suffering here and Maya has given us so much of dukkha. And if we take shelter of Krishna, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, Maya Mukda Jiver Nai Swata Krishna Gyan Jiver Akri Paya Kaila Krishna Veda Puran. Because we are in complete Maya, Maya Mukda, we don't know what is good for us. We cannot understand Krishna on our own. Therefore, Jivera Kripaya Kaila, Krishna has very mercifully given us Veda and Puran. He has given us Srimad Bhagavatam. So in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada has emphasized this point, that if we take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, study Srimad Bhagavatam, we will be able to somehow remember Krishna at the time of death. And then our life will be successful. So that's how we can get attracted to Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead, and join Krishna in these wonderful pastimes in the pastures of Vrindavan. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments regarding today's discussion? Okay.
We can consider the Bhagavad Gita, because that is the direct updesh of Krishna. Gita Sugita Kartava Kimin Shastra Vistarehi Yaswam Padma Nabasamukha Padma Dvinisruta. So that is the direct updesh, and Bhagavad Purana is just appearing after Krishna's disappearance. So that is the body, so means of Krishna, okay, consciousness moment.
Krishna, Bhagavad Gita is the instructions of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is the pastimes of Krishna. Where Bhagavad Gita ends, Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna. Thank you.
Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. So you said one has to give up the hope for material desires. That's more difficult than giving up material desires. So can you a little bit elaborate on that? Because from conditioning, from the past experiences, we are attached to that hope. So once we give up that hope, then even as you said, material desires may be there, but you have given up the hope. So can you explain further on that?
Actually, association is the key, especially studying of Bhagavatam. You may not be actually able to give up, but you know, we at least become aware. We become humbled, basically. I'm not so advanced, I have so many desires. At least from the stage of justifying having material desires, at least we come to a stage of feeling, Krishna, I'm so fallen, I have so many material desires. And I have this hope in this material world. You know? So by So by studying of scriptures and the Vaishnava bhajans, the Acharya's bhajans, and even if your material desires don't go away, even if the hope from material world doesn't go away, we at least feel guilty for it. Otherwise, one extreme is we may be shameless. Shameless means, you know, that's the way I am. I am fallen. What to do? That is one. Or other is we could be a hypocrite. You know, externally being a nice devotee, but internally having so many. So hypocrisy, shamelessness, both are bad. Honesty means, yes, this is how fallen I am, but I know where I am, but I don't want to remain where I am. I want to come closer to Krishna. So what Srimad Bhagavatam does is, it exposes us and reveals to us how fallen we are. We may have material desires, we may have a lot of, you know, hope from this material world, but at least the back of the mind, it will keep pricking us. And we'll feel guilty for having these desires, and we'll be praying to Krishna. Krishna, to be very honest, at least we'll become honest. I'm not advanced, but I don't want to remain where I am. I want to come closer to you. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he sings in his bhajans. He dehara patana hoile kirabe amar, keo sukha nahi dibe putra parivar. He says, what is there in this body? This is certainly going to get destroyed. No happiness can come from any of my material activities. And then he goes on to explain in great detail about how everything will go away. Finally, he says, when my body gets perished, the dogs and jackals will be happy. You know, very graphic description he gives. So we may not be on that level of having no hope from this material world at all. But by reading these Acharya's instructions, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, at least we will feel fallen, we will feel humble. And that humility will attract Krishna's mercy. Even if somebody has material desires as he is leaving his body, he may go back to Krishna because of not wanting to have desires. Like, you know, our Jagatarani Mataji said a very nice pastime about one of her god sisters who left her body in Vrindavan. She was a top book distributor in Los Angeles temple. So she was leaving her body in Vrindavan, and all devotees were surrounding her and chanting. So then Jagatarani Mataji went to close to her and said, "See, you are not going to leave your body. Do you have any material desire? Any hope from this material world? Give it up. Is there any desire you have?" She said, "Mataji, to be very honest," she was in great pain. She was about to leave the body. And devotees were chanting Hare Krishna. And this Mataji said, "You know, Mataji, in Los Angeles temple, there is Govinda's restaurant. And in that restaurant, they make pizza. And there is a special cheese they put on that cheap pizza. So I'm remembering that very much now. And I want that pizza." And then she was crying. And then she told Jagatarani Mataji, "But as I'm dying, this is the desire I have. So I'm praying to Krishna and I'm begging you, please bless me that I don't have this desire to have a pizza." So with this aspiration and desire not to have this desire which she has in her heart, she qualified herself to get Krishna's mercy. And that's how devotees were helping her remember Krishna. And she told Jagatarani Mataji before leaving her body that, "I don't want all these material nasty desires. I want Krishna. I want to have a desire to have Krishna." So that qualified her for going back to Godhead. So Burujan Prabhu was giving purport, said, because of our conditioning, we may be actually so fallen, but still we are not hopeless. We can't give up hope because Krishna sees our aspiration. So we may be at the back of the mind making a lot of material adjustments and hoping, but if we are also constantly reading Bhagavatam and taking shelter of devotees and aspiring to be free from having hope from this material world, then Krishna will pick up that quality from the ocean of faults, you know, and then he will give us the highest gift of Krishna Prem. That is, and maybe others could correct or give better opinion. Is that okay? We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.